Welcome back for the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers in for Pastor Greg Huffman, and we've been talking together about the nearness of God and how oftentimes when we go through difficulties and struggles, we think that He's not there with us, that somehow He's gone away, and that's why the difficulties are happening, when that is not the case at all. And we've been trying to focus on facts of Scripture and trying to find examples in Scripture that identify with maybe how we're feeling. Because sometimes we feel that God does not care and that God is not near. So we were looking at Job 23. And in Job 23, verses 1 through 14, Job is coming before the Lord, open and honest, stating his case. Even today, my complaint is bitter. He's talking to God. My hand is heavy because of my groaning. And listen to what he says in verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Pretty much sums up what Job's feeling. Lord, where are you? Have you ever felt that way? That God is not there? That you don't know where he is? That your world is crumbling around you and you look up and wave your arms at God and said, did you forget about me? Hello? Well, that's the way Job felt. In the midst of all his suffering, yes, he responded right. Yes, he did not respond wrongly to God, but now he's beginning to question, why? Is it something I did? Is it judgment on me because of my actions? And he's just coming before the Lord, open and honest. Lord, I don't understand. Where are you in the midst of all this struggling? And we go down to verse 8, and he says, look, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. And when he works on my left hand, I cannot behold him. And when he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. In verses 8 and 9, he's pretty much saying, everywhere I look, I cannot find him. In the midst of all my hurt, in the midst of all my pain, I am looking for God. I can't feel his presence. I don't know where he is. And as we go through life at times, the pain is beyond all we can bear. It's long, it's difficult, it's hard. And we go to him with our arguments and what emerges. Oftentimes our conclusion becomes, God is not good. He's not just. He doesn't care. If he's a good God wouldn't do this. A good God wouldn't allow this. A loving God would never let this happen. A kind God would never. A compassionate God would never do this. And we'd start to define who God is and redefine who he is according to our terms. And it really brings us to wrong conclusions about God, that he's not good, that he's not just, and he does not care. You know, what's interesting when you go through the book of Job, Job's trust in God's sovereignty faltered at times. But he always returns back to trusting God. And sometimes you may feel that way. Just like Job, you may question, Lord, where are you? But I want us to focus on where Job's conclusion is. Notice verse 10. He says, when I turn to the left, I don't know where he is. When I turn to the right, I don't know where he is. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Did you see what he says there? He says, I don't know where he is, but I know he knows where I am. And he's refining me. You know, Scripture often uses the image of a furnace to describe God's purifying ministry through suffering. Isaiah 48:10 says, see, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Deuteronomy 4:20 says, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace out of Egypt to be his people, an inheritance as you are this day. You see, Israel's suffering in Egypt was like that of an iron in a smelting furnace, meant simply to purify them. Psalm 66:10 says, for you, O God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You see, when you look at the story of Job, we notice two perspectives. We know the complete story, but Job going through it doesn't know. Job's perspective, when these difficult things are happening, is throwing his hands up at God and says, God, where are you? But we see the other side. We see both perspectives. We see God's perspective. and how God is allowing these trials simply because of Job's faithfulness, and that he's going to refine him and make him a more godly individual through them. And God's simply saying, I'm here the whole time, Job. I'm actually the one allowing this to happen. And we see this unfold throughout the book. The same situation, two different perspectives, and that's a reality in times of struggle and pain that we need to hold on to. That no matter what we're feeling, the fact is God is near, he does care, and perhaps he's purifying or refining me. Psalm 73 is another passage to look at. And here the psalmist is simply pouring out his heart, because life doesn't make sense to him. And notice the different perspectives. In verse 1, he says this, truly God is good to Israel, to such as pure are in heart. But in verse 2, he says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious and boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He goes on in verse 1, he says, God is good. He states a fact. God is good. God is always good. But notice the different perspective. But, and then he begins to share his feelings. And verse 2 to verse 16, he says, God promised to be with me. He promised to be kind and loving, but I don't see it. When I look around and I see the world, I see the wicked prospering. And he builds this case all the way up through verse 16. And then we get to verse 17, and he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you had set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakens. So, Lord, when you awoke, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. He goes on down in verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And verse 28 is very important. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. As we unfold verse 17 to 28, we see a perspective change, because he actually takes a step back, spends time with the Lord, and all of a sudden he regains what the truth is, what facts are. Not what he's feeling, but what the fact is that, yeah, the wicked may be prospering now, but their time is coming. In verse 21 and 22, he says, I was bitter and angry toward you because of how I was feeling. But in verse 23, he says, you are with me. And I love verse 28. He said, it is good for me to draw near to God. The literal translation of that text is, the nearness of God is my good. The nearness of God, the only thing that matters, that God is near and he's always with me, he never leaves me nor forsakes me, is my good. And even though life is hard and long and things cause me great distress, things happen that don't make sense, Scripture makes it clear that God is faithful, aware, and available. Let me read to you some encouraging passages of Scripture. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You see, sometimes the problem is simply with our thinking. We think if God is here, the trouble should go away, right? We scratch our head because God says he's here and everything to us should be fixed. But 1 Peter 4:12 reminds us, don't think it strange, this fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. And the problem is we think it's strange when, as a Christian, I'm going through suffering and I'm going through difficulties. Because we think when trouble comes, God is mad. When trouble comes, something's not right. And we forget simply that it's just part of being a Christ follower. But Jesus told us it would happen. I love Philippians 3:10 when you see Paul. He makes this claim. He says, I want to know God so much. And how am I going to know him? It's through the power of his resurrection and through the fellowship of his what? His sufferings. He desired to know God so intimately that he wanted to experience the same sufferings to be able to identify with Christ. Think about this for a moment. You know when people's fakeness is turned off? You know, we all put on masks. We live in a masquerade world where we want to portray things not as they truly are to make people think that our lives are better than sometimes they truly are. So we put on masks. You know when people's fakeness is turned off? In suffering. There's no more masks. Because the only thing that matters to them at that moment of suffering is that loved one who's going through pain. When they just lose a loved one, someone has passed away, that's when people become real. Whether that's through a disease, an illness, a sickness, a wayward child, when you come alongside someone who's suffering, that's when you really begin to experience someone who is real. And you know what develops through that? Intimacy. Intimacy. And that's what Paul's saying there in Philippians 3:10. I want to know God in a relational way so deep, not only through the Holy Spirit's power that is indwelt within me that enables me to live this Christian life, but also through his suffering. Intimacy with Christ is found in his suffering. We're told people will ask a reason for the hope that is in you. When do they do that? Do they do it in the good times? No. They do it when you're going through suffering. And you live like you have a hope. When you're going through hard, difficult times and they see that you have hope, that's when they will ask a reason. So God uses suffering in tremendous ways. But as we go through suffering, he wants us to understand, yes, it will happen, but he is near. Sometimes we ask God to stop it like it's some kind of sickness that needs to be cured. But here's the question I want you to think about. If God's promise isn't to take suffering away, what is his promise? And that's what we will look at next time on The Word for Life. Have a great day.